this story from the Buddhist tradition. Nagarjuna was a simple monk who walked around almost naked except for wearing a simple loincloth. And perhaps counterintuitively, he also carried a golden begging bowl, which had been gifted to him by one of his disciples. One evening, he was preparing to go to sleep amongst the ruins of an ancient monastery when he saw a man on the other side of the ruins hiding behind a column and coming out. It was a man Nagarjuna knew to be a thief. Nagarjuna decided to call out to the man and ask him to come over, and he held out the golden bowl and said, "Look, I'd like you to just take this from me right now. That way you don't have to disturb me when I lay down to go to sleep." The thief took it, grabbed the bowl, and scurried off with his newfound treasure. Nagarjuna went to bed, woke up the next day, and was surprised to see that the man had returned with the bowl. The man said, "Will you please take this back? And I have a request. When you gave this to me last night so freely, you made me feel so very poor inside. Would you be willing to teach me the wisdom that you have so that I can have the same kind of spiritual richness inside?" At first blush, the story may teach that in order to sleep better, the monk gave up the golden bowl. Delving deeper, we see the thief became a bit more miserable by grabbing for extra that which was not his. And the willingness to let go, the willingness to let go relaxed the monk's mind and led to detached Buddha nature or enlightenment. At times, life opens itself with opportunities for letting go. And from our own experiences, we know that that can be a challenging spiritual practice. What bowl might you need to let go of in order to connect with peace? What bowl might you need to let go of to connect with peace? Here are some examples of people that I know of who are letting go of bowls in order to better connect with peace and well-being. I know folks who are letting go of the golden bowl of social media and 24-hour news cycles. This can be just in terms of quantity, but it can also be in terms of what they engage with. One of my new favorite novelists is Juan Gabriel Vasquez of Colombia. Naming struggles many of us share, Vasquez talks about some of the worst vices of our new digital societies: intellectual irresponsibility, proud mediocrity, implausible denigration with impunity, and verbal terrorism. And some folks I know are just limiting their time or quantity and quality of Facebook or Twitter or Fox or CNN or MSNBC in order to experience more ease and lightness. And they're monitoring themselves and saying, "Hey, I think this is working for me. Less is more." Many parents and grandparents struggle with how to manage children's screen time. How much restriction is too severe? How much liberality is too much? Probably nobody here can identify with these struggles. No, just kidding, all of us. I know parents who work hard, though, to figure out the best balance and then just kind of let go of worrying about it. Just set parameters and say, "We're doing our best, and we're going to let go of the angst. Maybe that angst is the bowl." I also know all ages of adults who are saying to each other and their children, hey, you know what? I think this screen time thing is messing up the quality of our relationships. David Park, who's 92, preached here this year and talked about how his grandson's screen time, he lamented, he thought was hurting their relationship. So I know of folks who are coming to pray and think about what they really think and feel and say it to the other and then let go. Knowing you can't, I'm not really going to control him or her, but I can tell him what I feel and then just kind of let go of it. Maybe that's the bowl. I know another current example involving saying, I'm sorry and I forgive you. One married couple I know, I'll call them Sal and Gina. They're both in their second marriage. And Gina became agitated and then really hurt that Sal never apologized. And she would apologize and feel like he wasn't doing the same. And she talked to him about it. And Sal admitted that in his previous marriage, his wife would take the apology and use it to hurt him, almost like a weapon. So he said, you know what, I just don't do the apology thing because I know it ends up as a bad deal for me. And Gina told him she wanted a marriage based in love and respect where both people could say, I'm sorry, I forgive you, let's move on. And Sal said, you know what, I got to let go of my resistance to apologies, to amends. And they've entered a new stage of their marriage. The spiritual wisdom of letting go is found in many of the world's religious traditions. And Unitarianism and Universalism both come out of the Judeo-Christian tradition. This church was established in 1865 with the mission of being a liberal Christian Unitarian home. And today, some of us identify ourselves as Christians, and many of us do not. And for all of us, the wisdom embedded in our inheritance of the Christian tradition can guide our journeys well. Lent takes place during the 40 days before Easter in preparation for resurrection of hope out of despair. Lent offers opportunity to let go of behaviors or attitudes blocking the emergence or the resurrection of happiness or contentment or well-being, right relationships. Classic examples include giving up cigarettes or too much alcohol or unhealthy foods. And that can be really powerful. Sugar can be a powerful Lenten exercise. Our small group ministry, Soul Matters curriculum this month, offers some wonderful ways from theologian Frederick Buechner to explore Lent from a slightly different angle. Buechner says Lenten practices open a person not only to hear something of who you are, but also of what you are becoming. So Buechner looks back to after being baptized by John in the River Jordan, Jesus went off alone to the wilderness where he spent 40 days asking himself the question, what does it mean to be Jesus? What does it mean for me to be Jesus, he asked. And during Lent, people are invited to ask one way or another what it means to be themselves. What does it mean to be you? Buechner says you can look at your face in the mirror and think about what do you see that you like the most? What do you see perhaps that you dislike the most? The journey towards wholeness resonates with what Albert Einstein said. The path of awakening is not about becoming who you are. Rather, it's about unbecoming who you're not. I think that's powerful for a lot of us. And for many of us, I believe this can involve letting go of a sense of powerlessness. Maybe your bowl is, I'm powerless. Can't do anything about this. Some examples of the many that I experience, I think many people do. Many folks feel pain over letting go of or losing long-term relationships. Where's that friend I met in that town? Why did I stop reaching out? You have so many friends from grade school. What did I do with my friends from grade school? It could be any different shape or form, but I think a lot of us think about, you don't want to and you can't keep them all, but maybe there's a couple you let go. But powerlessness is not who you are. And you might have to let go of your powerlessness and claim your power to maintain relationships over the long haul. You can. Novelist Joseph Conrad spoke of a different challenge. He spoke of the shadow line which we cross when we become the age of 30 and become adults once and for all. This is a long time ago, so I don't know what the age is now. But you cross this line, and you are an adult. You got to admit it and be responsible for that. And you take your place in the world, he said, and unearth your secrets, which you can't deny anymore. Those are realities. Powerlessness is not who you are, though. You may have to let go of your powerlessness and claim power to deal with more resiliency and love with what you discovered and learned about yourself when you became fully an adult. As the last winter winds blow, I often see an increase in the struggles of people in this community. And I know most of us can identify with being ready for spring. Yesterday we were like, yes. And some days, though, the bright sunlight is just what we need to get our souls and our brain chemicals going in the right direction. In early springtime, we clear away old leaves, still semi-frozen mulch and debris. We do maybe some extra cleaning or wash in the home. During Lent, we clear away debris because our souls crave ecstasy and transcendence. We long for gurus and mountaintop experiences. We also long for peace and harmony in the most mundane. At this time of year, let us pause and ask, how can we remain faithful to all the impossible, necessary resurrections? Blessings be. Amen.